This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Like, say I want to see what you're doing and who you're hanging with, and you're not posting about it on your story. I can just stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. You do that?
No, I don't do that. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages and keep it between friends, and then use that money to buy something at a store with Apple Pay.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Maybe. Shh. Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And it is time for another happy hour. As always with these, drink responsibly if you choose to do so. Samantha, what are you sipping on today?
So I actually found a new ginger beer that I like that has tropical flavors. So I decided I was going to be tropical. I'm putting a lot of air quotes here and use it with my rum and lime. So essentially dark and stormy, but tropical. So a tropical storm.
Ooh, I like that.
And that just came off the top of my head. Yo.
You are a genius. You are a genius. I also had to get a little creative because I am out of pretty much everything. So I made a Cointreau, orange liqueur, and a lot of sparkling water, and cinnamon, and oregano. And it's actually surprisingly good.
You did some things.
I was trying to be like, ooh, let's get a little savory, get a little sweet, spicy.
I see you.
It turned out well, but it was a risk. It was a risk.
I feel like it's been a while since we've created our own cocktail, so maybe that's our next episode, Annie. You have an assignment.
Ooh, okay. Oh, all right. My mind is immediately like, cogs are spinning. Cogs are spinning. Wheels are turning. Cogs are turning. We're so bad at idioms, Samantha.
Yeah, we are. I'm the worst at it, and I just started creating my own. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely Nick from New Girl, who completely butchers them all.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I've never seen that show.
It's just a fun... There's definitely problematic things through it, but it's fun, easygoing, and... it's one of my go-tos. Because there's typically less sad things and just hilarious commentary.
Okay. Okay. Perhaps I will endeavor on that journey. Okay, well, for today, I wanted to do something kind of light. It's been on my mind for a while, and I think it could be a full episode. So this is just like testing the waters.
Yes, yes.
But before we get into it, Samantha, correct me if I'm wrong, but you didn't play a lot of video games growing up, did you?
No, I did not. Oh, great. Now you're going to make me think of how uninteresting I was as a kid as I'm thinking about this. No, I didn't do too much of the video games. My brother was the one that got all of his gaming things for Christmas. And it's very expensive.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I did anything like that. I'm sure I did. Well, I did. You know what? That's not true because I loved the computer games.
Yeah.
As a kid. So I definitely played like word games, typing games, mystery kind of games. But it was, when I'm talking computer games, I'm talking about 80s. Think of 80s movies with the sounds.
Perfect. I know you're exactly welcome. What you're talking about, actually. So that's really good. I'm glad you brought that up because I feel like I often forget computer games too. And this is one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this. And in this episode, we're talking about gendered video games, very personal experience I had with them, which is related to the episode, the Monday Mini, I believe, we did on gendered board games, which we have, and I still want to play.
Yes, I still need, I keep forgetting about this because we need to do this. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get into the TikTok world that I've been talking so much about by having us play these games.
Oh, I love it.
I said it.
It sounds so hip and cool.
But yeah, you know, and now that you're talking about it, I do remember also video games I would play as women in those characters. Because like Street Fighter was one of the number one that I'm like, oh, look, it's an Asian woman. Very sexualized Asian woman.
Yeah.
Computer animated sexualized Asian woman. But hey, I'll play her.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, outside of that, I'm thinking, okay, I see where you're going. I'm ready. Let's go. Sorry, okay. I interrupted it again.
No worries. So one of the reasons this was on my mind was I just kind of unlocked a forgotten part of my childhood recently because I was feeling nostalgic for these educational computer games I used to play. Mm-hmm. And like Jumpstart 5th grade, Jumpstart 6th grade. Like I would play those again if I could. If I could find them, I love them.
Did you play the Carmen Sandiego game?
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I remember.
It was so fun.
It was.
And if you're not familiar with these, they were very like kind of mini game based. Like there was a story, but ultimately it was like in Jumpstart 5th grade, you had to solve this crossword puzzle based on a museum you were in. So you had to go like look at the art and figure out the answers. And there was a division, like measuring thing that you had to do to make drinks at this pizza restaurant, which I don't know why as a kid you're making the drinks, but whatever. So they just had like a bunch of fun little mini games. And often the protagonist in those games was a young girl, which I liked. But then that got me thinking about all these other games I forgot that I used to play that were very, very gendered. And I just wanted to talk about that. Maybe I will, listeners, you'll be like, oh, I remember this, or I used to play something like this. And I do want to return and do a full episode on it because I think it would be really, really interesting. Because a lot of the games I played, I wouldn't say were gendered as masculine, but were definitely felt as more like boy games, if that makes sense.
Well, that's interesting that you're talking about all these mini games and like you have to solve puzzles because that's essentially what phone games I play. And I'm like, maybe that's why they gendered this as saying that doesn't count as gaming. Uh-huh. In which you had to correct me and say, you're a gamer because I play the four match games or the cook games, which there's been a couple of those, which unfolds into stories and such, which I get really fascinated by. But it's kind of that similar setup, which were the games that I liked as a kid.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about that too, because I remember I felt like when these memories came back to me, it's almost like I separated them from video games, like in my own head. And I'm somebody who, yes, is constantly like, no, women play just as much video games, if not more. We just don't count things that women play as video games, which is ridiculous. But I feel like I was doing it too with these memories. And so I just got to thinking of these games I used to play. And one of them was, I believe it was on Sega, but it was a Barbie game where the whole point was you had to get to this model runway. You were a model. You had to get to the runway. You were on a skateboard and you had to dodge like frisbees and balls and you didn't want to mess up your hair and your face. Right. And then you had to like strike the perfect pose and get the best pictures and you got points based on the pictures that you took. And it was very, very bright, like lots of pinks and pastels, I would say. But it was certainly a game my brothers made fun of me for playing. I enjoyed it. I'm sure like if I played it now, I would have a very feminist critique of it.
Right.
But I did enjoy it. I'm sure I was internalizing or taking in some negative body image because she was, you know, very thin and looked a very certain way.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
We did have another game that was Barbie-related, and it was a detective game. And I loved that game. And you were like, it was at an amusement park, and you had to pick up these clues, and she wore like the most stereotypical detective outfit, the hat and the trench coat. And the person who did it changed every time, which I liked. So, you know, you never knew for sure, even if you'd played it before. And she did some of her own stunts. Like at the end, there was a jet ski that you had to like get out of this cave, but it was collapsing. But I bring it up because I loved it, and I caught my brothers playing it once, and they also loved it. I got them to admit it.
One of the best moments.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, it was very funny. And they did admit it. And like, even if I asked them today, they'd be like, oh yeah, that game was fun. But still, it was like they had to keep it secret because something for girls is less than.
Right.
And it was like, I don't know, they were so embarrassed when I walked in on them playing it. And it was kind of comical looking back, like just playing this Barbie game. And it was fun.
Yeah.
I do want to bring Eves on sometime because Eves has been talking about these Nancy Drew like mystery games she's been playing.
Right.
And I'm very, very curious about it because it sounds like a similar vein as this. And I love a good like trying to put together a puzzle, solve a mystery. So I think we should.
She was at the unboxing of those games that you had given me, which were all of the games we talked about. Mall Madness, Sweet Valley High, Babysitter's Club. And you even got me the mystery dating game, which made me kind of hurt my feelings. So I'm like, first of all, I was not born in this era. How dare you?
I just want to play it. I want to play it.
JK. But no, I think it'd be interesting for us to play. I would love this to be me, you, and Eves. And of course, I've had the idea, and I think we've talked about it before, of bringing in different male employees of iHeart, including Ben Bolin, because he is the most straightforward dude that I know that I really think would be interesting. Because he was also like, what are these games? I need to know. He was actually really ready to get into it. Except we were missing a few things. But we need to bring on several different people to try it out with us.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited about this because it's really interesting to know that it does like reach us even today, our memories. Because Eve has been talking about the Nancy Drew game and what she liked about it and going down memory lane.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I'm hoping you listeners will uncover some games I haven't heard of. Because I was trying to get a sense for if this could be a full episode, and I'm very confident it could be, but it was kind of hard to search because the video game world is so unfortunately gendered and pretty like viewed as a masculine space already.
Right.
That like it was hard for me to find these games that I'm talking about here, which were very clearly targeting girls, usually young girls. But it is interesting when you like go back and you have these memories and they're so fond. And I have to say, like, the idea, we had a handful of male friends, coworkers at that unboxing event of those board games. And it was funny to see their shock of like, right. This is the point of this game, is to get a date or to buy things at a mall. And that in itself was very telling to me. But also, again, just the idea of Ben Bolin like playing Mall Madness and trying to
I need him to play Girl Talk.
Yes.
Phone game, blind date game. Which one was it? The phone date game, I think.
Yeah.
That will be amazing because the cards that you put in there when they say it's a match or it's not, it's a delight. It's a delight. And when you get rejected.
I'm so excited.
We need this to happen.
I think it will be excellent. Okay, I did want to include another one. So I loved My Little Pony growing up. And I still have them. I can't part with them, and I know I should, but I have a few My Little Ponies.
Right. Wait, is yours scented? Because mine used to be scented. And I thought that was interestingly weird.
I had one that was scented. Seafoam. I had to win her too. It was a whole thing.
Mine smelled like vanilla. Huh. I was very confused, and it was purple. Because I love purple. But of course, I no longer have it. I actually had a house fire when I was in my college year. So everything went away from my childhood, which was very limited anyway, because I didn't get anything until I was 8. Poor childhood. But so I just remember it smelling like vanilla all the time. And I was very confused. I think it was supposed to be cupcake, but it was vanilla.
I know what you're talking about. And that's actually interesting because this game was very, my memory is kind of sparse, but what I do remember, it was very like, choose your pony, pick the color of her body, pick the color of her hair, pick this, like draw the little symbol on her. And then I think you did pick how she would smell. And it was not like open season. It was like, will she smell like cake or fresh flowers or something?
Tobacco and coffee.
Ooh, this is another project. We could design our own little ponies. But it was definitely like, I liked it.
Wait, you just put another memory in my head.
See?
Yeah, I remember the matching outfits for the Barbie. Now, but they weren't to life. Like, we had to, I think there's a version of that on phone games where you can create fashions and pick and choose. But you literally, it was digital, but I know there was a actual drawing version of it too. But you picked outfits and hairdos and go on dates and if it matches or something. I feel like there was a Barbie game like that. Someone tell me if this is true.
Please do. I think you're right. And I guess ultimately, so this My Little Pony game was very much about coloring and style and appearances. We had another game that was a Crayola-based game that was similar, but that game was without gender, whereas this game was very much this is for girls. And I was once again made fun of for playing it, even though I feel like the dynamic was pretty much the same as that Crayola game.
Right.
It's coloring almost.
Right, but it's the branding.
Exactly. So that's sort of what I was interested in when I was thinking about this. And definitely my memories of this are pretty limited. And like I said, a lot of games I played maybe weren't gendered outright, but just felt like boys' games to me.
Right.
Whereas these were girls' games for girls. And they were all about appearance, I would say. Even if it's a pony, but whatever it was all about kind of looks. And I do think the pony one, if I'm remembering correctly, was very not that I'm saying this is wrong necessarily, but they were kind of this is your box and you're naming your pony something very nice and it's going to smell nice and it's going to look nice and that's going to be nice and that's it. you're not going to make some goth emo pony, okay?
Did they have a Care Bears game? Because the Care Bears more than My Little Pony. And of course, the sad Care Bear was my favorite.
I mean, yeah.
The rain cloud.
Course. Yes, I know. I love it. I'm sure there was. We'll have to look into it. Oh, I'd be so curious. Oh, all right. Yeah, I want to come back to this. But in the meantime, I'm hoping, listeners, if you've got an example,
please.
Oh, please let us know.
If they have a copy of the Carmen Sandiego game, tell us how to get to it, because I'm now reminiscing about this game.
I'm telling you, I would play Jumpstart fifth grade today, and I would have a ball. Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Yes, yes. And as always, listeners, thanks for joining us in this happy hour. And yeah, if you have any memory lanes you would like to go down with us, any suggestions, we would love to get them. You can email us at stephanieandmomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram at @StuffWeNeverToldYou. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff We Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.